Lord God, you keep calling forth light in darkness. It was the first word you spoke in creation. And when Christ came, you called us out of darkness into his marvelous light. Set us all as a lamp in a dark place, as a witness to the God who forgives sin and raises the dead to new life. Amen. You may be seated. As we place ourselves amidst Scripture this morning, we hold texts that remind us that Christmas is still alive but continues as well as Christ has come to live with us. We begin this morning by reading from the Old Testament prophet Jeremiah, hearing the story of Israel as they move back from Babylon back to their homeland, the land promised to them. Hear these words from Jeremiah chapter 31, beginning at verse 7. This is what the Lord says. Sing with joy for Jacob. Shout for the foremost of the nations. Make your praises heard and say, Lord, save your people, the remnant of Israel. See, I will bring them from the land of the north and gather them from the ends of the earth. Among them will be the blind and the lame, expectant mothers and women in labor. A great throng will return. They will come with weeping. They will pray as I bring them back. I will lead them beside streams of water on a level path where they will not stumble, because I am Israel's father, and Ephraim is my firstborn son. Hear the word of the Lord, you nations, proclaim it in distant coastlands. He who scattered Israel will gather them and will watch over his flock like a shepherd. For the Lord will deliver Jacob and redeem them from the hand of those stronger than they. They will come and shout for joy in the heights of Zion. They will rejoice in the bounty of the Lord, the grain, the new wine, and the olive oil, the young of the flocks and the herds. They will be like a well-watered garden, and they will sow no more. Then young women will dance and be glad, young men and old as well will turn their mourning into gladness. I will give them comfort and joy instead of sorrow. I will satisfy the priests with abundance, and my people will be filled with my bounty, declares the Lord. In this new year, might you feel that abundance around you as well. Our second reading this morning comes from Paul's letter to the people in Ephesus. In the original language, this is one long sentence. I will pause and take breaths and not be able to do all of them in one breath. Hear these words from Paul to the early church. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in this heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. For he chose us in him before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in his sight. In love, he predestined us for adoption as children through Christ Jesus in accordance with his pleasure and will, to the praise of his glorious grace, which he has freely given us in the one he loves. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins in accordance with the riches of God's grace that he lavished on us with all wisdom and understanding. He made known to us the mystery of his will according to his good pleasure, which he purposed in Christ, to be put into effect when the times reach their fulfillment, to bring unity to all things in heaven and on earth under Christ. In him we were also chosen, having been predestined according to the plan of him who works out everything in conformity with the purpose of his will, in order that we, who were the first to put our hope in Christ, might be for the praise of his glory. And you were included in Christ when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, When you believed, you were marked in him with a seal, the promised Holy Spirit, who is a deposit guaranteeing our inheritance until the redemption of those who are God's possession, to the praise of his glory. These are the words of the church. Our gospel reading this morning comes from John's gospel, the very first chapter, starting with the very first verse. Might we hear these words alongside the creation story as well, as we have this again in the beginning. John 1, 1 through 18. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that has been made. In him was life, and that life was the light of all people. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness to testify concerning that light, so that through him all might believe. He himself was not the light. He came only as a witness to the light. The true light that gives light to everyone was coming into the world. He was in the world, and though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. He came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. Yet to all who did receive him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God, children born not of natural descent, nor of human decision, or of a husband's will, but born of God. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only Son, who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. John testified concerning him. He cried out, saying, "This is he of whom I said, he who comes after me has surpassed me because he was before me." Out of his fullness, we have all received grace on top of grace already given. For the law was given through Moses. Grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. No one has ever seen God, but the one and only Son, who is himself God and is in closest relationship with the Father, has made him known. The gospel of Jesus Christ. You may be seated. Will you pray with me? Gracious God, you have redeemed us through Jesus Christ, the firstborn of all creation, whose birth we celebrate as the child of Bethlehem. We ask, God, that you bless us with every spiritual blessing, that we might live as your adopted children and witness to your glory with unending praise and thanksgiving. Amen. John chapter 1 captures the Christmas story in just a few short lines. Sure, Mary and Joseph are not present in this story, and angels and shepherds are not even mentioned, and the Magi have not come bearing their gifts. None of these people have entered into this story that John begins his gospel with. Instead, in this Christmas story, on this last day of the Christmas season, we read the scripture and are given the story, this cosmic story of God who has moved throughout all time and God who has reached in to be with us. God, the creator of all things, God of the universe, came and moved into the neighborhood by setting up residence alongside us. This is the story of Christmas, of God being with us. The lines begin, "In the beginning was the Word." And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Of course, our scriptures that we read as we go back all the way to the beginning in Genesis begin with similar language. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And in this, John is holding up this text alongside his story as well as we paint this image of darkness and light. As the creation account gives us these words where God speaks, where the Word of God is made known and the words tumble out of God's mouth, "Let there be light." John echoes this same story of God's action in history by sharing that in the beginning, this Word was amongst us, the one that gives life, the one that orders all things, the essence of who God is, walked amongst you, and in a very dark place, the light was shining brighter. While reading this prologue to John's Gospel and sharing this grand cosmic story, it should be set to music. On this 12th day of Christmas, we might as well have the 12 drummers drumming up here in front, giving a little bit of intensity to the story as it's being read. Todd could come up and play a hymn. Jessa would come up on the keyboards. Mark, grab your bass, because let this story build stronger and stronger as these words ring out. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. In this, let our imagery continue to build as we would have artists on stage painting a picture to invite us into the depth of what is taking place so we can have some form or to move us emotionally into this scripture. Our ushers should have the lights dimmed in the back opposite of our Christmas Eve service, where we should start with the dark and then let the lights ring out bright as we read this text. And maybe you can hear, much like in a movie, the building with intensity as the scripture is read and as God is making this movement into this world to be alongside you. This story deserves such grandeur that as we sit here on a Sunday morning, we are caught with the intensity that is being read. God as the Word. In this story, in this reading that we have this morning, God has come to be with us in Jesus Christ. We have this Logos, or the Word, the one that has come to reside here, the one that speaks and everything is created. As we read Paul's letter to the Colossians, we have that beautiful hymn where it reads about Jesus, the one that has created all things. We hear in this, once again, Paul's work to point to that Jesus was there in the beginning. Jesus is the one that creates and sets order. Jesus is God incarnate. And so in these short 18 verses that we read this morning from John's Gospel, we hear how the Word is related to God. We hear how the Word is related to creation. We hear how the Word has one that paves the way in John the Baptist, how the Word impacts this world, and how the Word shapes a community. And in the center of this grand story is the line that gives us pause. He was in the world, and the world came into being through him, yet the world did not recognize him. We missed it. Amidst the imagery, the build of the music, the intensity of the lights shining brighter, we got lost and missed it, missed what was really happening. We got caught in the show, but missed that Jesus was moving into this world. Did you see that this Christmas? I remember a story or a time when I was sitting with someone from another church. And they counted off all the things that were taking place during Christmas, all the family that was coming to visit, those travels that they too needed to make, the planning that needed to happen with the meals that were being baked, the gifts that needed to be gotten. Did I get the right gifts for the person? I'm anticipating that they're going to probably return this, but I need to have something anyway. And in this build up to Christmas, she was so caught up in all that was taking place, all that was anticipated with family and friends, the season, the pressure, that on Christmas Eve, she said, "Is this it? I'm a little bit tired now. I feel like the season has gone by way too quickly." And as she sat in the sanctuary, she looked up and she said, "I think I've missed this. All along, this child has come to be in this space where we live. Has come to live life amongst us, and I've missed it because I've been so busy." This gospel lesson reminds us that we aren't alone if we've moved through this season a bit at a rush for what has taken place. So the question comes to us, how has this, on this last day of Christmas, how has this Christmas season been for you? Are you energized? Do you wake up in the morning and sense that Christ has come to be with you and that your perspective on life has ever been changed? Where you can leave out your door and you see the goodness in the people around you. That grace that continues to pour out from God can move through you where you feel full and excited to meet each day. Are you exhausted? I have to admit that when I was walking into the hospital and ran into another chaplain, I said, when they asked me, how was your Christmas? I said, "We had a lot of family. It was good to see them come and it was good to see them go. I love them dearly." But maybe those words catch the essence of what maybe I missed. Maybe those moments where I was too exhausted to see what was actually taking place as the church gathers and celebrates this moment where God entered into the world in such a profound way and in such a small child that everything has been changed forever. Our stores had been filled with Christmas stuff since long before Thanksgiving. Then the 24-hour music station was on the day after Thanksgiving. And by the time we get to December 24th and 25th, we might feel just a little bit tired of hearing that same song over and over again. Are you feeling like this is all it is? Have we come to this point where maybe you're tired, but maybe feeling a little bit empty, like you've missed something in this season? The goodness of God coming to dwell amongst us. Where are you at as we celebrate this last day of Christmas and as we teeter on the edge of Epiphany, where we see that we have these texts where God or where Jesus is continually revealed to us, and we have these aha moments to say, like, yes, this is it. This is the Christ. And it grows deep within us. You see, John is setting the stage of what is at play in this Christmas story. Without all the characters' presence, the essence of what is really at stake is in front of us. This story shares what God has been about since the beginning of time. In this prologue, in these few verses, grace is only used 4 times. Actually, in all the book of John, grace, that word, is used only 4 times because John is at work sharing that Jesus is not about talking about grace. He's about showing it. And here, in this beginning, we have this image of God who reaches in and is beginning to pour out what grace looks like, how God has continued. The one who's created the universe has come to be with you and loves you so much and reminds us of this, that we cannot miss this. God has come in Jesus in a manger and will show us how to live, will give of himself for us, and will defeat death by rising. All of this, not simply to pay some penalty for sin, but to show us how much God loves us. How God so desires to be with you, how God so desires to be with the person next to you, how God so desires to be with the people that you run into every day, how God so desires to be even with the people you deeply disagree with, how God desires to be with people of this world. And the Word became flesh and made its dwelling amongst us, and we have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only Son who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. That God has reached in and is pouring out grace, and we get to be ones that share this message. But we admit it's easy to miss. And we get on with our days. We get back to where things are normal. We get into our routines and we miss the essence of Christmas. As John writes, that we have seen his glory and the glory of the one and only Son. We remember that glory is a word of revelation, how God continues to show God's self to us. The gift of Christmas is that this continues every day. God is continuing to give of himself every day. The glory is seen every day if only we have the moment to pause ourselves and to capture what is taking place, the eyes to see that God continues to move around us in such wonderful ways. In the wonderful book, Gilead, the author Marilyn Robinson speaks about lawn sprinklers. This is not the season for lawn sprinklers in your yard, but hold this image. As she speaks, she writes that we're always on the lookout for God's glory that lurks in the everyday. And along those lines, Marilyn Robinson in her book thinks that the person who invented the lawn sprinkler did something far lovelier than just provide a handy way to water grass. Because you see, in sprinklers, as they shine out this fine mist of water, the water droplets connect with sunlight, and in that shimmering moment, you can see each drop not as the stuff you use to wash the dishes with or mop the floor, but no, you see this rainbow that peeks out from this mist as the lawn sprinkler sprays across your yard. She calls it a jewel, a mini cathedral, and the light refracts to expose the dazzling rainbow that surrounds us always. In this simple item that we have in our yards, we're reminded of God's glory. If you just pause in your lawn chair and look at it long enough, to see the goodness that is spraying around you, the rainbow that has been present all along, how God continues to move in this world in ways if we can just look and see what is taking place. And admit that often it's missed by me and by you, but John is at work reminding us that God has entered this world to be with you. And it doesn't end at Christmas. Might you see it every day? Might you not miss it? Amen.